Well, we are still in the book of Kings, and the text I'm bringing today is very straightforward. You've got seven verses that share about this king, or the king of Israel. But you would observe here, I say, the danger of provoking the Lord. And so what is happening here is God is angry with Jeroboam and his descendants, and also the kingdom he has set up. And so the consequences really prevail. They persist. And so we see, I do have some observations here. So the things that started when this man started, and he defected, and he took with him 10 tribes back in chapter 12. And there he built for himself a fortified city, and also he established a foreign, a cultic system. Jeroboam brought to himself the kingdom. The kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. So that was what he thought himself. And then what he say he did, if these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam. After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, It is too much for you to go after Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. And that is a provocative act from him. And the whole Israel, they know that they are God's people. And where, this is where really rubber hit the road. You say that is it in Australia. This is where really things went wrong. And because he didn't repent of this, there were no grace in him. You see, but where is the kingdom of Judah? It's a kingdom that is established on the foundation that King David really made. Because a man whose heart was after God, and even in his rebellions and his acknowledgement of sin, God was so gracious. So you have heard me last time that the grace of God really to Asa. And that grace will continue to prevail. So that is the case. That is what is happening in the kingdom of Israel. The northern part of is called Ephraim. And so what happens here is, a few kings that were not really staying, were not really even ruling for over 2 years. You see, things were grim, things are bad. There shall never be really stability for those who are not right with God. So whatever they want to establish shall not stand, especially if they want to do it within the territories of God. And so here we read that Michael last week, he preached from chapter 16, 1 to 7. And now we have, I was not here, Baasha, king of Israel, who killed Nadab, the king of Israel. And so what happened? If I go back a little bit to chapter 15, and we see that Asa really ruled for 27 years. Let me read from chapter 15, verse 25, because now we might have just something real to share that we may apply later to as we progress. Nadab, son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel, so succeeding his father. He reigned over Israel 2 years only. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of his father and his sin, which he had caused Israel to commit. The sin that he has committed himself, and then he asked the people of Israel to commit, was the fact that he made up a god, a real challenge to God. So this sin, really, God is angry about it. And God is not changing his mind, because this is a provocative act. You see? And maybe the concept is hard for us, because we might not have an idol that we set up, but we agree as Christians that we might have idols as well. We can have our own idols. And these idols also can provoke God. If we don't repent of this, God will not let go of these things. He will put his finger on these things, these idols. He will not let go. Well, Baasha, son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, plotted against him. You see, and he struck him down at Gibbethon, a Philistine town, while Nadab and all Israel were besieging it. Baasha killed Nadab in the third year of Asa king. See? So just only during the third year of this king. And it's good that I'm reading this thing because we can compare. We can compare so that we don't really take God's grace for advantage. Really. So here, just only the third year of Asa. That is chapter 15, verse 28. Asa, king of Judah, and succeeded him as king. As soon as he began to reign, he killed Jeroboam's whole family. You see, so now he is insecure, and so all that he wants to do is just want to wipe out really Jeroboam's descendants so that there is no one that will inherit, really, will come up and claim the kingdom. Actually, it's not established. This kingdom is not established. You see, no matter how hard he tries to protect it, it's not established. God is against it. You see, he did not leave Jeroboam anyone that breathed, but destroyed them all according to the word of the Lord given through his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. So we all know that God is faithful. Whatever he has promised, he will do. He will not change his mind. We can go to the scriptures. You see, you remember the wall of Jerusalem that were, wall of Jericho that were brought down. And the Lord said, whoever would want to do this, you see, he will just do the foundation at the cost of his first son. And then if he raises up again his other son. So there is a judgment for that. God will come and that what happened actually. And so now as soon as he began to do that and he killed the family of Jeroboam whole, he did not leave Jeroboam anyone that breathed, but destroyed them all according to the word of the Lord given through his servant. Because of the sin Jeroboam had committed and had caused Israel to commit, and because he provoked the Lord, the God of Israel. And now you see, God is claiming his own people. You see, so he's judging this man and his family because of his own people. And so here, so you got the idea of leadership there. And so these are God's people. They are not his own people. And if you want to come and just like try to lead them your own way, you can never prevail. You see, God will look after his own people. And definitely he will send a savior. You see, that is Jesus, the savior of his own people. So that is the thing. So as for other events of Nadab's, he did that. So as for the other events of Nadab's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, throughout their reigns. You see? But that was not a long time. So even he was fighting the kingdom of Judah, this north. Baasha, king of Israel, in the third year of Asa, king of Judah. So 3 years he was fighting king of Judah. So, and now maybe to 6 years. So in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, son of Ahijah, became king of all Israel in Tirzah. And he had reigned 24 years. He did evil. This man, he reigned longer. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of Jeroboam and his sons, which he had caused Israel to commit. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, son of Hanani, against Baasha. I lifted you up from the dust and made you leader of my people Israel. But you walked in the ways of Jeroboam and caused my people Israel to sin and to provoke me to anger by their sins. Even with that, God was just allowing this man to reign. Anyone who also became king, God also was overseeing that. And everyone was given an opportunity to repent, isn't it? So everyone was given an opportunity to repent, but they were not repenting. they were continuing their way. So I am about to consume Baasha and his house, and I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Dogs will eat those belonging to Baasha who died in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. As for the other events of Baasha's reign, what he did and his achievements, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah his son succeeded him as king. Moreover, the word of the Lord came through a prophet, Jehu, son of Hanani, to Baasha and his house, because of all the evil he had done in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger by the things he did, and becoming like the house of Jeroboam, and also because he destroyed it. And now Elah, king of Israel, is succeeding. And now I want to bring to you a few things that really we want to take to apply. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, so the times really has gone by, Baasha became king of Israel, and he reigned in Tirzah 2 years. So he was reigning, he reigned for 2 years. We are given the summary. But now something happened. Zimri, one of his officials, who had a command of half his chariots, plotted against him. Here the point here. The first point I want to make here is God is provoked to anger, and he will judge over and over. We have seen he will be judging. And all of us, we know that God will judge sin. But we don't know what, in what ways, in what forms he was going to judge. That is the thing. And I think that is a problem to us today, isn't it? If we knew that God is going to face us in this way, so we wouldn't want really to do the wrong thing that we are doing. If we know exactly how God is going to challenge our gossiping, so we won't do that, isn't it? If he is going to come by raising up someone to struck us down. You see? So the reason I'm saying we don't know how these things is going to happen is the fact that this person is a very close ally. You see? And so if it were another person coming from a distance, that could have been a little bit okay. But this man is just a close ally. Zimri, one of his officials. You see, one that was very close to him. Who had a command of half of chariots. So the kingdom of this man was standing on the shoulders of this man, Zimri, the kingdom of Elah. Yeah, his kingship was really solely reigning on this. But now the close person to him was the person that was really acting against his master. And that is the nature of sin, you see. So the nature of sin and blindness to God really can cause someone to do something terrible like this. And even you have heard me earlier, like even the people in South Sudan, these men wandering in the jungles and coming really into the places of their enemies, you see. And yet, really, because these people, they were fearing God. They wouldn't want to do this, and they testify to the fact that we are God-fearing people. We cannot harm these people, even though they have harmed us. But you see the rebellions, and when people are just deep in their sins, they have no regard for any real system in place, connections, and real relationships. You see? So today, the problem, like in this country in which we live, the issue, the question of trust. So anyone can kill you, actually. Anyone can kill you. Anyone is not your friends. Anyone is not your really favorite. You see, you are a lonely person. You are alone. You are defending yourself and fighting for your existence in a land where there is no fear of God and where there is no regard for godly values and standards. So that is what happens in any setting that God is not feared. You see, God is provoked to anger. God will just open up. Really, the floor for any crime to be committed, horrific and terrible like this. And so we say, like David said, that if someone is far to do this to me, it would be okay. But it's my kin, It's my close friends who is just doing this to me. This punishment is so severe to be punished by your closest ally. So the absence of God is clearly seen in this sentence, in this context. So he plotted against him. Eli was, and also this man, he was in Tirzah at the time, getting drunk in the home of Arza, the man in charge of the palace at Tirzah. You see, even where he is not secure also with another friend. You see, a friend coming to kill him, and as another friend's house, also no defenses. You see, and he himself caught red-handed, drinking, helpless, with no fear of God, reckless. And here is a man who is supposed to encourage God's people really to follow God, like Asa. You see, Asa was, he sought the Lord, he brought about reforms, and he encouraged people to seek the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel. You see the contrast. You see, we have this is terrible. Who would want to live in that territory, in that context? Who would want to, anyone who loves the Lord, you see, would want to live in that environment? Just imagine, let us flip the picture a little bit. Just imagine if it is in a church like this, and you are insecure, and your harm will just come even from the very people you know. Whether it's harm of plotting something against you, or really, really disregard for you, and so that would be really terrible, isn't it? And we are not pruned from this. We are not very far from this. But the good thing is, like, well, we have the scriptures and we have this service tonight. And we have the word of God before us to tell us that there's a no-go zone. Because we are like the people of Asa. We have been encouraged to love the Lord and to follow Him. We have been born of God, at least those of us who are born again. And I trust as we come into our evening service, it's for those who have been walking with the Lord. You see, so this is our path, the path that is not to provoke the Lord to anger, because He will not tolerate this. And so this man served in the hands of his officials, his friends, so he is going to suffer, you see, so terribly. And so my greatest point I'm putting my finger on, and the Holy Spirit is emphasizing, is, you see, the absence of God. In the absence of God in any situation, so it can be really terrible. Can be terrible. So Zimri came in, struck him down, and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah. And now even the text is not mentioning anything that was going wrong, apart from the fact that the people who were posing like trouble for Asa are the people from the north fighting him, isn't it? And so you will see also he will try to seek allies, so pressure will be hot. But at least he didn't do anything that was so terrible. As soon as he began to reign, and also to secure, to cement his kingship, he did the same thing. He wanted to wipe out. You see, he wanted to secure these things, but he didn't know that the kingship really is not inherited in that way. You see, unless you are not in Israel, unless you are not God's people, God will visit this. Yeah, so yeah, that is what he went around and he killed off Baasha's whole family. He did not spare a single male, whether relatives or friend. So Zimri destroyed the whole family of Baasha in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken against Baasha through the prophet Jeho. Yeah, we see how God is working here. God will use the very people He will punish, really to punish sin. So God here, He has opened them up really to destruction. But He is fulfilling His promises. He is God. He is in charge. He is controlling. He is sovereign. See, He is overseeing all the activities that these people are doing. They think they are just acting in isolation or independently, but actually God was fulfilling also His will for these families who have acted really against His will. So as for the other events, so we see that. So what is the thing that we take today? And so I believe with all of my heart that we are not to provoke our God with all the instructions that we have in the New Testament as those who have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. And so we are instructed. So if we hear God's voice, if we hear His voice, we are not to harden our hearts. Now, these people, they have the word of God. The kingdom of Israel could return to God, you see, but they refused. They hardened their hearts. And so they were without any excuse to continue that path. You see, they know. And this man lied to them that these idols brought you out of Egypt and from bondages. Who doesn't know in the whole Israel in their history that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob really rescued his people through the Red Sea? And the kingdom of the northern kingdom, they are not without the light of the word of God. But the Lord says that he is consistent with his character, and he will act as he acted in the Old Testament, you see, and also even in the New Testament. God will punish in way or another those who would want to really continue acting against him in whatever ways. Whether this is acquiring leadership through bad means, or whether at our workplaces, you see, so we may get rid of this and that. That was what this man was doing. So trying to get rid of that, you accuse this one so that you get the position. I remember when I was working as a trainer with a registered training organization. I was a trainer. And so I had my students who mark. And so this man working in the office, he hit all my papers, my student works for a week, and I was just going through everything, every place, and so he just took them away. And so he thought by that, and then my student will fall behind and I will run into trouble, and to discover them just like really after a long time, like 8 days. And it was a nightmare. And so he did that deliberately to cause trouble. So we are not to do that. Yeah, that is why I was angry with that generation, the Lord says. And I said, their hearts are always going astray. And why these people, Baasha and Zimri, and they were just so really blinded. So the absence of God is so clear here. So see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Well, the people in the Old Testament, they turn away from the living God and they went to worthless idols. But our Lord doesn't want us to go that way. But so the writer to the Hebrews says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin deceitfulness. And so what we have been doing in our fellowship and in encouraging one another to like the testimonies you were sharing, choosing for ourselves but not trusting the Lord God, is we are making our own idols, hardening our hearts to follow our philosophies and our own ideas. But the good thing is, like, even I'm not alone, even there will be people who will encourage me, you see, not to go that path, isn't it? It's a dangerous path. And there are many ways for us to, and God speaks, isn't it? He encourages us. Even this morning before I came to church, I was just like there. You know, last night was a little bit cold, isn't it? But in the morning, the sun was just like beaming. And I got a couch that was closer to a long glass, thick glass. And then the sun was just hitting that and the warmth was just coming. And I had my Bible open before me and was reading Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. And then as I was just like turning, and it was warm, it was really nice. And then I said, if the sun that has been created by God himself could bring comfort, really, and joy, how much more God himself who has made this sun? You see, and I worshiped and I prayed. You see, so here, so that we don't make idols for ourselves, so that we don't acquire things through our own strength. And this man, definitely this man, they were crying for prestige to be the number one. You see, and to lead. There's nothing wrong about being the head of your own people. You see, but God calls to those positions, and God really cares so much. So, the danger of provoking the Lord is the same as then, and also will always be like that. And so, let us be sensitive, and let us be clear that whatever we do, we need to examine our motives, our conscience, our activities and our actions, our words, even our thinking. We are to align everything with our God so that we have the natural flow of His plans that He has planned really for Israel. Israel, we're going to be a strong nation, isn't it? They've got the great prophets, and in few weeks we will be tapping into Elijah and Elisha. It will be a lot of sensation, isn't it? That means God cares for His own people. He will raise up prophets, and we will see the influx of prophets. Actually, this is the beginning, isn't it, of a history. And this book of Kings, 1st and 2nd, they cover a history from the Exodus, 300 years. And you see, and the journey is long for them before we come there. So these things are written for us so that the Bible clearly again says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellions. Our forefathers in the Old Testament did this. But we are not to go that path. So yeah, this small story tells us that God is consistent. God will act, and God will use different means. And the hard thing is that they may come from the very close, really. And we are to bear that in mind. That we have an enemy. Let me pray.